A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Devil Dog, Squid, Zoomie, Coastie, Grunt. Military veterans have a lot of terms for each other. And now there's a place that reports the news and delivers stories in words vets understand. ConnectingVets.com.
Today at 6:05, when Cubs baseball is on the score, Ed Napleton's Honda in Oak Lawn presents Off the Air. Exclusively on 670thescore.com. An unfiltered brand of the score you could never get on the radio. Including LoHo Daily with Lawrence Holmes, Grobber and Grody, Tony Gill, Maggie Hendricks, and Madeline Kenny in a special No Zones. Off the Air, presented by Ed Napleton's Honda in Oak Lawn for home run service and selection.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com,
Chicago's sports station.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Hey, Monday! Hey, Monday! We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get big beat!
We get big beat!
Big beat!
Big beat!
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mike Florio joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. We love our opportunity to talk to Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Morning. Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well. We are living the dream. The Bears, everything's cured and everything's solved, and they can score points just like everyone does against Washington.
As long as you play Washington every week, everything's fine.
What was your takeaway? What did you think of Mitch throwing three touchdowns? It's a career-high 20 completions in the first half.
Yeah, look, this is what they needed to begin to do, find some sort of identity offensively. My concern, though, is the running game. You got 67 yards from David Montgomery, 25 of which came on one play in the final drive of the game when they got a field goal to make it 31-15. I just think that without the running game, there's going to be some serious problems when the weather starts to turn. When you come up against a team that can match the Bears defensively, you need something to set the tone for the passing game. You can't throw to set up the run or throw to set up more throws. You're going to have to run to set up the pass at some point. That's the one big thing that I look at. And also, the inability to slam the door on Washington went up 28-0. The foot kind of slipped off the gas pedal. Then they had a hard time getting it back. That gives me concern as well, because that should have been 45-0, not 31-15.
Mike, is the NFC North the best division in football?
Well, right now it sure looks that way. When 2-1 gets you a tie for last place, then yeah, that they're doing pretty well. Now, I think the Packers have overachieved. The Lions have overachieved, and I think the Vikings and the Bears are right about where we thought they were going to be, although you could argue the Bears should be 1-2 as a result of the gift that they got, the pair of gifts they got last week from the officials in the final moment or two of the Denver Broncos game. But still, the teams that were expected to do well are doing well. The problem is the teams that weren't expected to do well are doing even better, and it makes Sunday's game against the Vikings an important, not quite early elimination game, but to the extent that you want to keep up with the Packers and the Lions, you better win this game on Sunday.
Does Jay Gruden survive the season? Is he going to be fired before the year is over?
You know, I always pay very close attention when the broadcast crew during garbage time starts to wade into those kinds of topics, because they've been around the team for the past couple of days. They pick up some things that they can and can't say. And I got the clear impression from listening to Booger McFarland last night on the ESPN broadcast that he's of a mind that Dwayne Haskins isn't going to play until Jay Gruden is fired, and Jay Gruden very well may get fired. And the two spots to watch would be after the Thursday night game, Week 8, coming up end of October against the Vikings, because it gives you that mini bye to get another coach up to speed. And then their actual bye, it's later than that. It's Week 10, Week 11 time frame, which, you know, it's not the ideal time to make a coaching change. You'd like to do it early enough to have a chance for it to take. But I think Jay Gruden does need to be very concerned about his own future. He's in year six. He's got one playoff appearance. And I know the year that they ultimately made it to the playoff appearance, and lost to the Packers, they were struggling early in the year to the point where the team was beginning to think about making an in-season change. And here we are 3 years later with no more playoff appearances to show for it. I think he's getting closer and closer to the end.
Mike, I was fascinated to watch the Ravens, a team with a very good kicker, go for it four times on fourth down. And then on three of the four touchdowns, they went for two. John Harbaugh explained himself yesterday, kind of immersed himself in analytics. What did you make of all that?
Well, the analytics explanation makes sense. And this is a twist on the, if you're down 14, it makes sense to go for two when you score the first touchdown, because then if you get it, you're only down six, another touchdown and a one-point PAT puts you ahead and you don't have overtime. He was applying the same logic to being potentially down by 10. He'd rather be down by nine, so then a field goal and a touchdown puts you ahead and you don't have to deal with overtime. But, you know, the bigger concern is this. I just feel like the Ravens circled the Week 3 game at Kansas City when the schedule came out in April, and they've been determined to go to Kansas City and out-chief the Chiefs and show off their offense and show their offense whenever they can, however they can, and go for it on fourth down because it's another opportunity to show off our offense. Go for two. We're showing off our offense. I mean, the problem is when you go for two three times, when you go for fourth and short multiple times, you're getting farther and farther down your list of short yardage plays, and sooner or later, you're going to run out of plays you feel good about, and it's going to be even harder to be successful. So, you know, they were lucky to have a chance to come back and make that game respectable. It could have been and arguably should have been a blowout. There's still a gap between the Ravens and the Chiefs, and I think the gap as of September 2019 is bigger than it was when those two teams got together for what was a regular season classic last year that went to overtime in Kansas City.
Tom Coughlin has got a problem with Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey has got the blue flu. How's that going to play?
Well, he ultimately did show up yesterday, and it's funny how quiet things got once Jalen Ramsey showed up. You know, this felt like the latest Monday power play from his agents, who last Monday strategically got the word out that Jalen Ramsey wants to be traded. This Monday got the word out that Jalen Ramsey was sick and he wasn't going to go to work. And one thing leads to another, and Jalen Ramsey goes to work. I mean, it is ludicrous to think that a guy who plays for a professional football team who is sick would not go to a place where there are healthcare professionals and medication aimed at diagnosing you and getting you on the road to being better. And he ultimately did go in yesterday, and the stories died down. And I think that somebody, what I think happened, I don't know this, but my guess would be that someone got to his agents, maybe another agent who has more experience, maybe a friend who's with another team, or maybe it was just Tom Coughlin picking up the phone and telling somebody what's what. But that was a disastrous potential strategy for Jalen Ramsey. The idea that you are going to feign an illness, or, you know, possibly go and fake an injury. Oh, my hamstring's sore. Oh, I have headaches. I'm dizzy. To avoid playing when you want to be traded. That is not the way to play this if you're Jalen Ramsey, because it makes you less valuable in the eyes of the teams that may trade for you if you create that vibe that you would have the capacity to try to fake something so you don't have to play or practice football.
Mike, week three was officially the first time in NFL history that 20 quarterbacks, 26 years or younger, started for the respective teams. Does that say there's great young talent around the league or a dwindling supply?
Well, I mean, we are in a golden age where there are plenty of great quarterbacks on the wrong side of 35 and plenty of great quarterbacks on the right side of 25. But when you have Ben Roethlisberger injured, when you have Drew Brees injured, when Cam Newton is injured, Nick Foles is injured, that's opening the door for more and more of these guys. And when you look at it, it's 25% of the league through the first 3 weeks of the season. If you count the Andrew Luck retirement, that's been the turnover from starter to backup, whether because of injury, retirement, benching, etc. And, you know, Kyle Allen came in and played well. Gardner Minshew playing well for Jacksonville. Daniel Jones playing very well in his debut for the New York Giants. And that's going to fuel this. You know, there's already been this desire by the teams out there with older quarterbacks to get their young guy. And I think the fact that we're seeing some of these younger guys without widely recognizable names playing well, that's going to make these older teams even more, or these teams with older quarterbacks even more urgent to start their next chapter, their next generation with a young quarterback.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, we're in Chicago. The Patriots have 116 regular season victories this decade. Think about that. That's insane. And I know a lot of it, everybody says, well, look how bad the division is. They win, you know, all these games in the division. And that helps, but they are extraordinary. And that record, I don't know that that will be broken.
Well, and you still got to win those games, even if the teams are bad. And they have lost plenty of their games this decade in the division. They've had some late season stumbles that have cost them the number one seed, forced them to go on the road. They should have been to, what, five straight Super Bowls, but for the fact that they lost late season games to the Jets and the Dolphins that forced them to go to Denver for the AFC title game 4 years ago. So, you know, but 116 with 13 more opportunities to continue to pad that record. It really is remarkable. And that was like Bill Polian's major feather in his cap, that they had in Indianapolis the most wins of any team in that decade. Like they give you a trophy for that or something. But they, you know, and from the Patriots' perspective, the most important thing to them is three Super Bowl wins and a chance at one more to close out the decade to get to number seven.
Mike, I'm all for higher education, especially at fine Mid-American Conference universities. But I was a little surprised to see Antonio Brown enrolling at Central Michigan, where he played college football. Is this guy going to come back to the NFL this year? Wow. Do you buy the fact that he's never going to play again?
I don't buy when he claims he's never going to play again. I may buy the fact that he may not want or be wanted by a team to play again. You know, as of Saturday, the thinking was that there were three teams that were interested, but they wanted to see how this investigation plays out in the aftermath of the sexual assault and rape allegations in the civil lawsuit. But then Sunday, he goes on that tirade, and he puts Robert Kraft in the crosshairs, and he says he's done in the NFL. And, you know, here's the thing. If you become Antonio Brown's next team, you are going to become his next former team, and you are going to step into that spotlight, and at some point he's going to be raining that acrimony down on you, and I think that makes him a little less attractive. He's just too erratic. I don't think he's either getting bad advice or he's not listening to good advice that he's getting. I think it's probably the latter. I think the guy's uncontrollable. He doesn't submit to authority. He wants things his own way. And, you know, he wanted to be out of Pittsburgh. He got his way. He wanted to be out of Oakland. He got his way. He did not want to be out of New England. And he's dealing with that. He's reacting to that. And I think that it's going to be a while, because if teams wait to see what the NFL does with the investigation and potential discipline of Antonio Brown, because he's not on a team now, they can take their time. And I think they can kick this can so that Antonio Brown is no longer a distraction from the celebration of the 100th season of the NFL.
Can't believe we've gone this far without talking about Danny Dimes, who, of course, is the new star of the NFL. when a guy plays and has success, it seems like the fan base really, I mean, as bad as that team is, they feel hope for the first time in a long time.
Well, and that's the key. You know, not many teams have transitioned from a Super Bowl winning quarterback to another guy that you can feel hopeful will lead you into serious contention. And for every Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers and Joe Montana to Steve Young, there's been teams that have taken, you know, 20 years in between franchise quarterbacks, like the Steelers did between Terry Bradshaw and Ben Roethlisberger, like the Dolphins are still doing 20 years after Dan Marino retired. And I don't know how good Daniel Jones is going to be, but he checked that initial box in a big way on Sunday, where fans can have hope. They're buying his jersey through the roof, you know, because this is the guy. This is the guy we're going to build around. Saquon Barkley is the best player on the team, but he's only going to be there a certain period of time. Jones is the guy who's going to be there potentially for 15 years, and that's what the Giants desperately needed, and now they can move on from Eli Manning and move into a future where, you know, they have their answer to Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, maybe Dwayne Haskins in their own division.
Mike, I think it's great that Freddie Kitchens says he can take the heat.
Oh, God.
But he really never explained why the draw on 4th and 9 and other things.
If you can't take the heat, get out of Freddie Kitchens.
Is he being exposed?
Sorry.
I like that.
Is he being exposed, Mike?
Yeah, I think he's a little over his skis. And when he comes out yesterday and he says, to justify the play calling blunders that he had against the Rams in a game the Browns could have won, when he says, "I'm new at this," I don't know that that's something you want to say out loud. I don't know that that inspires confidence in Cleveland. You know, when you give somebody a promotion in a normal workplace, if they screw up early on, "I'm new at this" doesn't cut it. You are presumed to have the appropriate faculties to discharge the job that's been given to you the moment you're given the job. And I don't think that's the right play anyway. If that's the inner monologue, if he thinks I'm new at this and that's why he's making these mistakes, I think he needs to be a little more defiant and say, look, it didn't work out, but I would do it again. Right? It's first and goal from the four, right, and I've got a quarterback who's got some mobility, and we decided to call four pass plays. I mean, we want to keep the opponent guessing. We thought maybe they were expecting a run. We didn't run the ball. That's how we're going to do things, and I'm never going to regret the decisions I make in real time. And if deep down he realizes he needs to have more opportunities to be both head coach and play caller in that moment and kind of get more comfortable, get his sea legs when it comes to balancing all the different tasks that he's doing in the moment, that's fine. I just don't know that you need to tell the world that, because that's what the media is going to talk about. That's what the fans are going to hear, and they're going to have less confidence in Freddie Kitchens. And what his big failure in the offseason, this reminds me of the Vikings last year, when the expectations are sky high, you have got to be out there waving your arms saying, do not have high expectations. Just because you think we have the pieces does not mean we're going to come out and win all the games and go to the Super Bowl. No, we need to realize this is the work in progress. It's going to take some time. But, you know, I think the teams like it when the expectations are high, because what happens from March until September? A lot of jerseys get bought, a lot of tickets get bought, a lot of stuff gets bought, and then reality starts to set in.
Mike, thanks a ton. Always a joy. Really appreciate your time.
Great stuff, Mike. Thanks.
That's Mike Florio. He does a great job.
And I love it that Baker Mayfield was outplayed by Daniel Jones, the guy he dissed in that magazine story. I think it's great.
You love stuff like that. Why is that? I kind of like the bravado. The loud mouth
Back
stuff.
It up. He hasn't backed up anything
yet. Winning a damn game?
How about winning a game?
Before I have to see you in every other commercial.
Get in the end zone. Daniel Jones, leave him alone.
All right. We've got Danny Connor ahead of us. We're going to do a little transition with Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight, and we're going to do that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is a special Built for Tough Bears Tuesday on the Score. All day today, we'll be recapping last night's game with all of our shows and team of experts. Plus, your reaction, too. Exclusively on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans. Brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Built for Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears.
It's Rose.
Right now, the Home Depot makes replacing your old carpet easy. With more styles and colors to choose from, there's no better time to buy. With free installation on any carpet purchase of $499 or more, all by licensed local pros. Backed for life, today is the day for doing and saving with free carpet installation only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For a limited time, $499 minimum purchase required, typically $699. For license information, visit homedepot.com/license numbers. Valid through November 6, 2019.
Kids, 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
For the past 2 decades, over 500,000 donors have trusted Cars for Kids with their cars. Now we can help with your property donations, too. Donate any kind of real estate at carsforkids.com and receive a tax deduction for the full appraised value.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.